The Daily Dribble. And welcome back to the Daily Dribble podcast, guys. As always, I'm your host, Nick Zammit, here back for another jam-packed episode. It has been a massive week across the NBA and the NBL, and I'm super excited to be here once again breaking it all down with you. Guys, before we get into the episode, a big shout-out to the Spotlight Sports Network and The Cover. Thank you for keeping not only our USA listeners, but also our Australian listeners up to date with all of our news. So we certainly appreciate everything that those two entities are doing. So big love there. As always, be sure to stay up to date with all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok for when all the latest news breaks, as well as getting our latest episodes when they drop. We certainly appreciate all the continued support. Everyone who shared, liked, commented, subscribed to all of our channels, we are very, very appreciative. Before we get into it, though, guys, one quick little thing. I know, you know, we've got listeners all around the globe. We've got quite a lot from the UK as well. So just passing on my sincerest thoughts and well wishes there. I know you guys are absolutely sweltering through a historic heat wave at the moment. It's kind of hard to believe I'm sitting here with layers upon layers on. But that's unprecedented what you guys are going through at the moment. So for all of our UK listeners, we certainly hope you guys are staying safe and staying cool over there. You know, for myself, I love summer. I love the heat. But even for me, that's a little bit too crisp. So certainly well wishes going out to all of our UK listeners. Guys, the plan for today. So there's been a lot of news from the NBA, NBL. I'll rip through that pretty quickly. We're then going to get into, after kind of, I guess, wrapping up the 2021-2022 season last week or over the last couple of weeks with our season gradings episodes. Today, I'm going to start transitioning into more of a focus on next season. And a key part of that is the trade market. Now, all the news has been on Kyrie, KD, DeAndre Ayton over the last few weeks, but a lot of the news over the last probably couple of days to a week or so has focused on Donovan Mitchell. So my plan for today is I'm going to propose four potential trades involving Mitchell, and we're just going to kind of discuss the implications these would have on not only the Jazz, but also the other team in the deal. So just kind of nut out which deal we think would be best for the Jazz moving forward. So really looking forward to getting into that momentarily. Before we do, though, let's get into some of the quick notes from throughout the week. Let's start with LeBron James. The King made his return to on-court action the other day in the Drew League. Winding back the clock, he dropped 42 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists, and 4 steals in a phenomenal showing. Again, it's Drew League. Read into it what you want. It's kind of like summer league performances, but you've got to be impressed by how he kind of took to the court and took over the game. We're hoping, you know, as a Lakers fan, hoping to see plenty more of that over the coming season. You know, DeMar DeRozan was also suited up there, as was former Sydney Kings player Casper Ware. So quite a star-studded lineup there, but certainly bodes well for LeBron moving forward and hopefully for the Lakers. There's been a lot of news during the week that there's been, you know, conversations going on with AD, with Kyrie, Westbrook, should I say, and LeBron, that they're really on board to kind of run it back this season. Time will tell how that plays out. There's still Kyrie Irving rumors, should I say, running rampant at the moment. So hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we'll get a little more clarity about how that's going to play out. But nevertheless, a very impressive performance there. A guy who had an impressive season last year, Keldon Johnson from the Spurs, has got a 4-year, $80 million extension. He averaged 17.6 rebounds, two assists last season, while shooting nearly 40% from three. He's going to have to be the man next season. He is going to have the weight of the world on his shoulders after DeJounte Murray, should I say, has departed there. So hopefully we can see kind of output reminiscent to what Murray did this season. But Keldon Johnson, a very deserved extension there. And the Spurs will be certainly hoping he can put his best foot forward this season. Austin Rivers, the T-Wolves are making some noise this offseason. First, they got Rudy Gobert. They've now signed Austin Rivers on a one-year deal worth roughly $3 million. He'll hopefully be able to plug that role that Pat Bev has left with his departure there. But it's a handy piece. It's a really handy veteran piece. Adds a little bit of experience, adds a bit of capabilities from three. I thought he was really serviceable for the Nuggets last season. So looking forward to seeing what he can do there in a role with the Wolves. Just speaking of which, on the Wolves, I've had a couple of conversations with people this week. They might be the team that has arguably the highest ceiling this season, but also the lowest floor. You know, I've heard people saying, you know, they're a They're a conference finals team, which, you know, I don't think they're quite that high. And others saying that they're going to be in a plane at best. Thus, is their kind of they're level at the moment. But I for me, you know, just with this news as well, bolstering that guard depth, when you put, you know, Rivers alongside Edwards, Russell, Towns, Gobert, it's a pretty top stack talent team there. I expect them to be probably in a fifth to sixth range. But I think they're going to be one of the more exciting teams to watch this season. OKC have re-signed forward Kenrich Williams on a four-year, $27 million deal. You know, he played extensive minutes in that forward role last year and looks like one of the pieces alongside Giddy, Shet, SGA now that'll be part of that core going forward. Fantastic to see. He was an undrafted player. He got zero Division I offers coming out of high school. But last season, 7.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, a bit over 2 assists a game, plus a steal, should I say, a game. So you're going to bring energy on both ends of the floor and really enable, you know, those names I just alluded to, the SGAs, Giddies in particular, to really just flourish on the offensive end a little bit more so. You need a couple of dogs like that in your team, and I think Williams is the perfect piece for them moving forward. On a very team-friendly deal, what's that? That's a bit under $7 million a year. That's perfect for OKC. The Denver Nuggets, who I spoke about just momentarily ago regarding Austin Rivers, they have come off. How's this? I almost don't want to say it because I'm going to sound like a broken record. They've signed Melbourne United star Jack White to a two-way contract this season after he impressed in Summer League. He had a phenomenal season with United last year, 9.5 points, 7 rebounds, an assist and a block a game. But it really was just an integral part of what they did and their identity on both ends of the floor. After impressing in Summer League, he has got that two-way contract. He'll turn 25 next season. But the kind of overarching point I wanted to make on this, and it's a point that's been referenced so often, the NBL is a breeding ground for talent. You know, we see Luke Travers over there this year. There's guys who, like a couple of seasons ago, Didi Lazada. Yeah, the names are just go on and on and on. It's fantastic to see another star, Jack White, get his opportunity. And I implore everyone, if you haven't had a look at the NBL, this season's going to be bigger and better than ever. Be sure to tune into a couple of games because you might be watching or unearthing the next big talent. You know, Josh Giddey, namely, he's, you know, first and foremost, probably the key piece in Australian basketball at the moment. And what he did with the Adelaide 36ers prior to the draft was just phenomenal. And it really is, you know, creating that pathway between the NBL and the NBA. You know, if I was a young player and blessed with talent and a little more height, if I was kind of, you know, weighing up the two options as to go the professional route with the NBL or go the college route, I know which way I'd be leaning at the moment, and certainly towards the NBL route. I just think at the moment it's better serving these players. You know, I'm a huge fan of these young players matching it up with grown men, and I think it just bodes them well moving into the NBA. They look like capable, ready-made players as opposed to some college players who have a little bit more of a transition period, but yeah, hats off to Jack White nevertheless. Speaking of Summer League, I haven't really touched on it much given, you know, my season gradings episodes the last couple of weeks. If you haven't already, guys, be sure to check them out, by the way. Had a heap of fun breaking down all 30 teams over the last couple of weeks. But speaking of Summer League, the Blazers took it out after defeating the Knicks 85-77. Both teams came into that kind of that final game with a 3-1 record, yet the Blazers really took control of that game with quite a level of comfort. I don't know. Is this kind of almost the high watermark for the Blazers this season, winning the Summer League there? Or, you know, does their story have a little more to unfold? I think they're going to be sneaky good next year. I like the pieces that are around Dame. And I think Simons is really ready to elevate himself into that almost CJ McCollum kind of protege like level. He won't get to CJ's level this season, but he's well on that trajectory at the moment. So looking forward to seeing what the Blazers can do. But nevertheless, a good start to their season. Also, a bit of sporting history today was made for Australia. The NBL has become the first code across AFL, A-League, you know, any sporting code we have here in Australia. The NBL will be the first code to host a Christmas Day game. Melbourne United will face the reigning champs, the Sydney Kings, much to the delight, I'm sure, of the boys from the Fifth and Dribble. Shout out fellas there. Hopefully they're in attendance. It'd be awesome to see what the atmosphere is like on Christmas Day there. I tell you what, I don't know if our budget has it in the works, but it'd be awesome to be able to hook the boys up with tickets to wish them a Merry Christmas. Certainly don't hold your breath for that one, fellas. It's awesome to say, and I think this will start to become a bit of a staple mark, not only in the NBL, but also with other sporting codes. I think they'll follow in behind the NBL there. So sporting history made, Christmas Day games. Can't wait to see that one. I'm certainly looking forward to a big Christmas lunch, maybe a little afternoon nap. I'm a huge fan of a nap after a bit of food, a couple of drinks, and then maybe tune into the Kings United game. What a Christmas treat. Guys, let's move ahead.
Daily Dribble.
Okay. As I said, it's really going to be focused on Donovan Mitchell. Not too often do we do, I guess, really whole episodes focused on one particular player, but thus has been the news of Mitchell this week. He has been in all the trade talks, all the trade rumors. It's kind of felt as if the Kyrie, KD, Westbrook, you know, that kind of big train of trades, there you go, tongue twister, has almost kind of run out of steam a little bit, and thus has Mitchell has kind of been catapulted into the limelight. So what I'm going to do, as I said at the start of the show, I'm going to give you four trades. I'm going to break them down, kind of discuss my thoughts on them. I would love to hear from you guys out there which one you think's the best trade, which one benefits the Jazz most, and if any of them you think will actually play out. So, yeah, be sure to hit me up. Hit me up on the social. Slide into the DMs. Open and willing for a conversation at whatever time. So be sure to get into that. Guys, let's just, I guess, for Donovan Mitchell, this will be his sixth season in the league. Last season, he averaged 26 points, 4 rebounds, 5 and a bit assists, as well as a steal and a half a game. Really is not quite in that top tier of guards at the moment, but he's starting to, you know, incrementally get his way there, you know, starting to look towards an all-star, potentially third-team All-NBA. We're starting to get into that zone of where he fits in the hierarchy. He did average this season the highest turnovers of his career at 3 a game, whilst also having his worst shooting season since his rookie campaign from 3 at 35.5%. Therefore, it's kind of, you know, with Gobert leaving, it's time to blow it up. A sea change might be the thing that gets Donovan to that next level. So certainly looking forward to that. Let's get into it. Let's start with trade number one. So the team that's been in all the rumors surrounding Mitchell, the New York Knicks acquire Donovan Mitchell, whilst the Jazz acquire Evan Fournier, Cam Reddish, Quentin Grimes, a 2023 first-round pick, a 2024 first-round pick, a 2025 first-round pick, a 2026 first-round pick, and a 2028 first-round pick. So Evan Fournier, Cam Reddish, Quentin Grimes, and 5 first-round picks for Donovan Mitchell. Okay, let's start with this one. So I like this move for both teams. For the Knicks, I think for them to be relevant, as their fans are absolutely clamoring for after their playoffs push the year before last, I think keeping RJ and ideally Julius Randle is an absolute necessity. I think if they were to lose, like Barrett's that kind of core young piece that they're building around, so I think he's pretty much off trade talks. But Randle's a name that, you know, some people have looked to offload. They've kind of grown a little bit tiresome of his, I guess, ball dominance, his poor shot making, poor shot selection, should I say. But I think ideally, if you can keep RJ and Randle, starting five, Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson, RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, and Mitchell Robinson would be super, super solid. You know, you pair that alongside Derrick Rose, Obi Toppin, and Emmanuel Quickley off the bench. That is a really strong 8-man lineup there, and I think it just would make them super exciting. I think what Barrett, Randle, Mitchell Robinson, even Brunson to a lesser degree, they can do enough to cover up Donovan's defensive deficiencies. Donovan's defensive deficiencies. Say that 3 times as quick as you can. Bet you can't. With a team like that, those kind of 8 names I mentioned, I think you're looking at possibly as a high watermark, a 5th to 7th seed, which I think if you're a Knicks fan, you'd probably take after, you know, how things kind of played out this season. They really did take a significant step back. It really felt as if momentum was on their side. They brought in those new guys, Fournier, Walker, and it just didn't play out. Randle most certainly regressed after his most improved campaign the year prior. But I think for them to reach that 5th to 7th mark, It's going to be reliant a little bit on Barrett's progression as well, quickly continuing to develop, and Mitchell as well starting to assert himself in that top 15 to 20 players within the league, which I don't think he's there yet. For the Knicks as well, with that in mind, I think it's good if they can get off Fournier's 4 years, $73 million contract. That's a big bonus in all of this. He wasn't quite what they were after this season. Him and Kemba combined just didn't work out. Like in my head, I thought, oh, shooting, perfect. That's going to really aid, you know, what they lacked in the playoffs against the Hawks. They lacked shooting. They lacked scoring. They lacked options. It really was in that series, Julius Randle a bust. But I think, yeah, it didn't play out. So I think getting off Fournier is a massive, massive plus. That being said, with this move, how would it all click chemistry-wise? They're trying to integrate not only Brunson now, but also Donovan Mitchell. There would be a big shift in the hierarchy and trying to establish where everyone fits into the food chain, in particular Julius Randle. He's going from the perceived number one guy to arguably, if things kind of, you know, in my eyes, probably fourth. You're looking at Brunson, Mitchell, RJ Barrett, and then Randle is probably your fourth guy. So it's going to take a little bit of time, I think, just to adjust to where he falls into place. And, you know, as I said, their success will be predicated on him not trying to be a hero, which is easier said than done. It is a lot to give up. The Knicks, as I said, a couple of quality young pieces there. I like Cam Reddish. I think he's got really high potential. But, you know, it's been unused thus far. But you're giving up five first-round picks. It is a lot to give up. But I think for the Knicks, they're always going to be a destination. They're always going to attract talent. You know, it's always handy to have some draft assets in the back pocket. But people are always going to be drawn to the Big Apple. So I think for them to be relevant, for them to be a bit of a threat in the East, it's a move you make. For the Jazz, as I said, it is a really good, sizable amount of assets you're acquiring there, not only for this particular deal, but when you combine it with what you got for Rudy Gobert, that is a whole heap of draft assets moving forward for you. Their rebuild is certainly in good stead if this move goes ahead. I think Reddish and Grimes, as I said, they still have room for growth. And with, you know, the next probably 5 years or so, use this season, test them out. Is Reddish or Grimes a piece that sticks for the rebuild, or could they also be moved on? I just think, you know, Fournier is a salary filler, but with shooters, Conley, Bogdanovich around him, as that kind of those three main shooters, they're going to put up a lot of threes, put up a lot of points. Not really needed, though, given they're in that tank. But I think in terms of grades, for the Knicks, I'm going to give them a B+. I like it for the Knicks. I don't think, you know, by keeping RJ, keeping Randle, I think that's huge. So I give him a big plus for that. Getting off Fournier's contract is a big bonus. B+. For the Jazz, I'm not as high on it. I'm not as high on it just in terms of the young talent they're getting back. As I said, I think Grimes and Reddish have got potential. But a lot of players have potential and don't fulfill it. Therefore, I'm going to give them... I'm going to give the Jazz a B- for this one. So B+ Knicks, B- Jazz. We'll move ahead to trade two. This is one I'm really excited about. It's bringing into play the Heat. So in this deal, the Miami Heat receive Donovan Mitchell, and the Jazz receive Tyler Hero, Omer Yurtseven, Duncan Robinson, Nikola Jovic, and four future first-round picks. So for the Jazz, they're essentially receiving five first-round picks. If you think of Jovic as an additional one, given the fact he was just a first-round pick, I think he looks like he's got a bit of upside. You know, we've seen a little bit of him through Summer League. I think the Jazz would almost essentially count that as five first-round picks and matching what the Knicks did in the previous deal. I like this move for Tyler Hero. I think he'll be able to flourish, really, really flourish in a starting lineup, and become possibly the face of the franchise moving forward, that key piece that alongside all the draft assets they've got, the piece they can kind of build around. You know, there's been, I think even from his side, you know, just a questioning as to why he's not in a starting lineup. I think if he goes to the Jazz, a team that's going to have zero expectations for the next couple of seasons, out of the limelight, not a big market team, really serves him well, I think, moving forward. He's, you know... although he's become a little bit quieter as well, they get another formidable shooter in Duncan Robinson and a 24-year-old center in Yurtseven who really, really broke onto the scene last season. I think, you know, getting those three pieces and, you know, putting Jovic with that as that five first-round picks, Robinson, Hero and Yurtseven, I think it's a better package than what the Knicks offered, the deal prior. You know, that only the question is there, I guess, transitioning to the Heat. For the Jazz, I like it. For the Heat, they get an offense first player, which can then enable Jimmy just to take a little bit more of a focus on the defensive end, which we know how good he is at. I mean, to give them a few more options, again, we've seen over the last couple of seasons when it comes crunch time, playoffs most notably, it's Jimmy or bust in these ones. But having another prolific scorer would just maybe give them another dimension to that offense. I think this deal would keep the Heat up with those top couple of teams in the East. We're looking at, you know, the Bucks, Philly, the Celtics. It really keeps them in that upper echelon of teams in the East. The only concern from my eyes that, you know, based on what I've read, kind of going through this deal, looking at it a couple of different ways, the only kind of concern that does arise is the quality of the depth that would remain for the Heat. A lot then is going to become onto the Martins of the world, the Oladipos. Oladipo, I think, is the key part for that. If he can stay healthy and be a consistent contributor, it kind of alleviates the effects of getting rid of, you know, Robinson and Hero and Yurtseven. But they need him to stay healthy and just produce at a more consistent level. And hopefully, I guess, you know, it's not as big of a factor purely for the fact that they've got Bam and Jimmy. But hopefully that Heat culture can rub off on Mitchell a little bit. I'm going to speak a little bit about his defensive deficiencies. We know that he's a little bit lackluster on that end, and it was kind of made up for by having Rudy Gobert. But hopefully that Heat culture can rub off on him and he can become a little more active and engaged on that end of the floor. It's not going to be tasked with doing a whole heap. It's really not, because they just want him to score. They've probably got enough cover there on the defensive end, but you still want him to be able to be at least competent on the defensive end. For this deal, I'm going to give the Jazz a B. A B-plus, should I say. Going to give a B plus to the Jazz. I think this is a fantastic package. And for the Heat, I'm going to go a C plus. It's a lot to give up. It's a lot to sacrifice those draft picks. You know, Hero, who was nearly untouchable in trades over the last couple of seasons. Robinson as well, despite him having a slightly down year. We know what a capable shooter he is. And Yurtseven as well. It is a lot to give up. And I'm still just concerned about that secondary unit. I think the starting five will be fine. They'll iron it out. But the depth there is where I get slightly worried. So I'm going to give the Heat a C plus for this one and the Jazz a B plus. Let's move ahead to the third trade. In this one, the Jazz receive Gordon Hayward, making his triumphant return, Kelly Oubre, and four future first-round picks. On the opposite side there, the Hornets receive Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gay. So, Jazz, they get their four first-round picks from a team yet to make the playoffs in an increasingly harder Eastern Conference, which is good for them, just given they're more likely to be better picks as opposed to what we've had, most notably with the Heat in the last trade. For Oubre, he can be a bit of a piece now. He's not going to set the world on fire by any stretch of the imagination, but he can give you valuable minutes. He's a handy starter. Whilst 32-year-old Gordon Hayward, he'll get his fitting return after spending the first, six, seven seasons with the Jazz? Don't quote me on that. But he can still give you 15 points, four rebounds, four assists a night, and be a handy contributor to a Jazz team that isn't looking to set the world on fire. And it just would be, I guess, for the pure Cinderella story of it all, nice to see him go back there to Utah. He's probably got another couple of seasons within the league, pending touch wood, no injuries. But, I would like to see that for Hayward. For the Hornets, this would be an absolutely electric backcourt of LaMelo Ball and Donovan Mitchell. LaMelo's length should help cover a little bit for Donovan's Defensive deficiencies. Tell you what, that's going to be embedded into my brain tonight. Defensive deficiencies. My concern, though, with this move for the Hornets is that they still need to look at acquiring a more capable center, just to help combat that Mitchell, defensive slide there. But I thought it was a move they should have addressed last season, and they just didn't. It really concerns me moving forward with the Hornets, given the amount of points they give up. They're going to put up a boatload of points. That is a given. If this move goes ahead, they did last season. Pardon me, there's tea coming up nearly. they're going to put up a boatload of points. But new head coach Stevie Clifford, Clifford the Big Red Dog, he's a defensive-minded coach. So I'm intrigued to see what wisdom and knowledge he can impart on this all-out attack team. So I like this trade, but I think it is very dependent on them making another move for a center. So for grades on this one, I think the Jazz, I'm going to go a C-, just because 4 picks, it feels like the going rate for a player of Mitchell's caliber. They're not really getting a quality young piece back. You know, Oubre's serviceable. He's, what is he, mid-early, what is he, 26, 27 now, Oubre, I believe. So they're not getting a good young quality piece back, and they're getting an aging, injury-prone Haywood. I just don't think it compares with what we saw with a Hero trade. For the Hornets, I've given them a C+. I think it really they didn't need much aiding on the offensive end, but I think it aids them there. Makes them super exciting to watch. I think their league pass viewership will just skyrocket. Yet, as I said a moment ago, it doesn't address their need for defense, especially with Miles Bridges' news coming out today that he was, I don't even want to speak about him for the domestic violence there. He's, I would say, unlikely to be suiting up, which just begs more of the question about what they're going to do on that end of the floor. So C- for the Jazz, C+ for the Hornets. Could potentially go to a B- if they made a move for a center as well. Okay, let's go ahead to the fourth package here, the fourth and final package. The Raptors dipping their toe in. Now, again, these moves, the Heat and the Raptors, namely, are on the basis that the KD gets taken off the market. So the Raptors receive Donovan Mitchell. The Jazz receive OG Anunoby, Gary Trent Jr., 4 first-round picks. Oh, no, should I say 3 first-round picks in 2023, 2025, and 2027. Okay. As I said, this is on the basis KD gets taken off the market. And the Raps are, still looking to swing hard because they've really been a team that's kind of been pretty keen to dip their toe in the KD market. So they might still, if it falls through, look to swing for the fences. By doing this particular trade, they get to keep prized assets in Barnes, Siakam, Van Vliet, with, kind of names such as Siakam and Barnes being potentially rumored in a KD trade. By doing this particular trade, they get to keep those studs. The defense that Barnes and Siakam provide should be more than enough to cover what Donovan Mitchell is going to give up, whilst a backcourt of Fred Van Vliet and Mitchell would be electric to watch, somewhat like the LaMelo and Donovan Mitchell combo there in Charlotte. What I would like to see this do, though, if this trade were to eventuate, I'd like to see Fred play off the ball a little bit more, I think, and get back to being one of the better, more sniper-based three-point shooters within the league. I think Donovan could handle the ball a little bit more, and that would free up Fred just to hit the corners, hit his spots, and make teams pay. On the opposite end there, for the Jazz, they get key assets in OG Anunoby most notably, and Gary Trent, that could still, it's a piece that could be converted into more assets. Both of them could be. So, for OG, he's a piece you could look to build around for the future, a key part of that rebuild, still at a young age there. So as I was weighing this up, you've got 3 future first-round picks, but with assets in OG and Gary Trent, they could easily be converted into another couple of picks there. So it depends what route the Jazz would want to go with it. For the grading for this one, I gave the Jazz a B. I gave the Raptors a B minus. For the Raptors, I think this would make them a better team. It would open up a few more avenues for success. But again, it would arise slightly like the Knicks, as we spoke about, a little bit of a hierarchy problem, I think. Would it be Mitchell or would it be Barnes's team? You know, I don't think a guy's ever had a more, I guess, a jump in perception as what Barnes did this year. He went from, you know, a player that Raptors fans were clamoring as to why they chose him, as opposed to Suggs there. And by season's end, in a KD package, he was almost an untouchable. So I don't think a player such as, you know, Scotty Barnes has gone through a bigger kind of perception change over the course of a season. So I'd be interested to see how that one plays out. For the Jazz, I quite like this move. I think three first-round picks builds their war chest on top of what they got for Gobert, but it gives them flexibility to keep those players, OG and Gary Trent, or turn them into more assets. So I've given them a B and the Raptors a B minus for this one. I tell you what, let's break it down then. We've done four trades there involving the Knicks. Who do we have? The Knicks, the Heat, the Hornets, and the Raptors. From my eyes, my favorite package for the Jazz is the Heat one. I'm going to go the Miami Heat one. I think it gives them potentially the best player out of any that we mentioned in the package. I think Hero has superstar potential. Who are the other names I mentioned there? You're looking at Gordon Hayward, Kelly Oubre, OG Anunoby, Cam Reddish. I think Hero is the best player out of any of the names I mentioned here. And getting four, nearly five if you count Jovic, first-round picks is huge. Duncan Robinson, Yurtseven, both the names that could potentially be traded on or kept as part of a rebuild. I think the Heat package would certainly have to be my favorite. I'm going to put the little note out there, guys. I'm doing this one. So the episode will be released on Friday night. I'm here recording this one on Wednesday. I'm praying, Wednesday night recording. I'm praying that over the next 48 hours, no news is made of Donovan Mitchell's moves. Otherwise, this episode becomes pretty much null and void. I can just see it happening. I can see myself waking up tomorrow morning or Friday and just seeing the breaking news, a Woj bomb or a Shams report there about Mitchell on the move. I certainly hope that's not the case. Guys, I had a blast kind of focusing on one player. I love firing up the trade machine. I love reading trade rumors. I find them super, super intriguing, just analyzing them from both teams' perspectives. But I would love to hear what you guys think of these ones. Which package you liked the best? Was it the Knicks one? Was it the Heat one? Was it the Hornets? Or was it the Raptors? Four packages, both have their pros and cons. But I think certainly over the next couple of weeks, maybe a week or two, Donovan Mitchell will be on the move. The Jazz kind of, after the Gobert trade, shut down any I guess, news that Donovan would be in a trade. But they've since opened up the lines again. Certainly feels as if at the minute the Knicks are going to be the most likely destination. I'd like to see the Heat, but the Knicks at the moment seem to be all the talk. Love to hear, you know, not only what package you like the most, but if you were to go to the Knicks with that team, let's say Brunson, RJ, Randall, Mitchell and Robinson, how far could that lineup go potentially? Are they an Eastern Conference, you know, semi-finalists? Are they a finalist? Are they in the play-in? Thus is, you know, how stacked both the conferences are at the moment. So had a heap of fun doing that, guys. As always, be sure to stay up to date with all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok. Next week, I'm weighing up two ideas for the show. Either going to get the boys from the cover on or do a mailbag episode. I'm just toing and froing there. If I do go the mailbag route, be sure to send in your question, guys, NBA, NBL related or non-basketball related. I am looking forward to tackling anything and everything. So be sure to get your questions in via the social media channels or DM me personally. Happy to take any and all questions. Guys, as always, it has been super fun dropping another huge episode. Like, subscribe and share wherever you listen to the show. Until next week, this is Nick out, guys.